Welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.org.
And this morning, I don't plan to keep you very long, but I do want to keep you long enough. And I want to speak to you for the next few moments about the blessed hope that we have in Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to speak to you on the specific topic of learning how to rejoice in the midst of your struggle. This is a message that I believe is going to, it's a message that helps us understand spiritual maturity. Because I'm going to know when God saves us, when God calls us, he then puts us in a process where he begins to work things out inside of us. And if we respond correctly, what we will get is called spiritual growth, right? And our goal is to be more like Jesus, right? The Bible tells us that we should consistently grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to talk to you on the specific topic of long-suffering. Someone say long-suffering. And what I want to do this morning is I want to attempt to answer the question, why do we experience suffering here on earth? Have you ever gone through some things and asked yourself, why? Why me? Somebody wave at me. Have you ever been there where you're like, well, why do I got to go through this? Man, I'm a good person. I'm trying to do things right. But then things happen to us that are unexpected, and it causes us to go through turmoil and or struggle. Now, what I need you to understand this morning is that not everything that you go through is a result of something bad that you did. There are a lot of people that live in this life, and what they think, man, I must be a bad person. The things that I am going through is because of what I've done. Now, I will say that sometimes we will experience suffering because it's self-inflicted. Sometimes we make bad choices, and our choices have ramifications, and we got to pay for those. Are you hearing me this morning? But sometimes we go through things that are unexplainable. Life can be filled with hardship and unexplainable circumstances, but this is what you have to understand. The truth is, we live in a fallen world that is full of sin. And as Christians, we are not exempt of experiencing the reality of hardship or even suffering. How many know that suffering is not a matter of if, but of when? Right? It's not a matter of if we're going to go through something. It's a matter of when. But what you have to understand is, even though we believe we're not exempt from the sin that ravages this world, what we need to do as believers is come to the understanding of who Christ is, because when we know who Christ is and what he is able to do for us, we are able to live different, our perspective changes, and we can walk in joy. Romans 8:18 says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. You know, this morning I was sitting there and I was just kind of reminiscing off some of the things that I have been through, and the Lord was just kind of showing me the things that I went through that were unpleasant, but I'm looking at what I have now. Not everything I'm going through right now is picture perfect, but what I can tell you is that the Lord was reminding me that my life is in the palm of his hands. See, what you have to understand is God knows the end from the beginning, and if you've committed your life to the best of your ability to follow after him, listen, God is in full control of your life. But it's when we take matters into our own hands and we begin to live a theology that's different from the Bible, that's when we get in trouble. See, there are a lot of people that they don't know the word of God. So what happens is they come up with certain philosophies and certain ways of living, and they say, well, it's okay. You cannot base your actions or behaviors based off of everyone else. You have to base them off the word of God. Are you hearing me this morning? Suffering is not a matter of if, but of when. But the hope that we have is this, that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. So again, I want to talk to you about how to rejoice in our struggle. In order to do this, I want to look at the scripture we opened up with. Here you have the Apostle Paul. He is speaking to the church in Colossae. And what we have here in this letter to the church of Colossae, the Apostle Paul introduces his message, his mission, and his commitment to struggle. If you study the Apostle Paul's life, you would find that his mission was twofold. First of all, we see that his mission was to reach the Gentiles, who were basically the outcasts of society during his time. That was one of his lifelong missions. The second lifelong mission he had was to build and plant God's churches everywhere he went. This is what he lived for. And this is why he says in Colossians 1:24, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the affliction of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. So here, the Apostle Paul, what he's doing, he introduces us his message. His message is the hope of Christ. His mission is to reach the outcasts of society and plant churches. But now he introduces to us his commitment to suffering. Now, I don't know about you, but why would anybody in their right mind commit themselves joyfully to suffering? Here, the Apostle Paul had an understanding of what God wanted to do, not only in his life, but for the people that he suffered for. See, I want to read that scripture to you in the Message translation, and listen to this for a second. He said, I want you to know how glad I am that it's me sitting here in this jail and not you. There's a lot of suffering to be entered into this world, the kind of suffering Christ takes on. Listen to what he says. I welcome the chance to take my share in the church's part of that suffering. What's interesting is here he's telling the people, rejoice in your suffering. And he wasn't just speaking hollow words, because when he wrote this, when he wrote the book of Colossians, he was in jail. That's why he says, I'm glad that I'm sitting here in jail and not you. But what really catches my attention about this scripture is the very end. And yes, it's a different translation, but it brings home a very important point. He says, I welcome the chance to take my share in the church's part of that suffering. He understood that the church was the vehicle that God was going to use to advance the kingdom of God forward. It was the church that is supposed to be the light of the world. And he was willing to suffer. Come hell or high water, he was going to stay committed to the plan of planting churches all over the world, because he knew that people's lives depended on it. Are you hearing me this morning? He welcomed the chance, the Bible says, to take on his share of the church is suffering. Now, this is very important, because today people don't value church the way they once did. Church has now become an option to people. And you know, I hear a lot of, hey, pastor, I run into people sometimes, say, hey, pastor, oh man, how are you? Oh man, I was thinking about you guys. You know what? I haven't been to church, but I've watched sermons online. I mean, know that a digital sermon, yes, it could minister to you, but that's not what God intended for our generation. We got to be very careful that we don't lose the value of fellowship and community and providing an atmosphere for broken people to walk into a church, experience the power of God, and lives be changed. See, many people today, they see church as an option. But according to Paul, he says that I welcome the chance to take my share. How many know you got a share? You got a share. See, this isn't my church, this is God's church, right? The goal is that when we come to church, we say, oh yeah, that's the church I go to. But over time, the verbiage should be, that is my church. That is the church where I serve. That is the church where I give. That is the church where I pray. That is the place where I help meet other people's needs. See, because at the beginning, when I came to the church, I came because I was broken. I came because I was at my wit's end. I came because I had no other options, and my father made me come to church. Come on, somebody. I came because I was threatened. You come to church or you pack your bags and you leave. I had nowhere to go, so mama didn't raise no fool. I went to church. Little did I know that going, and listen, I didn't give my life to the Lord in the first year. I went for 1 year because my dad made me go to church. But I genuinely watched my father, a man who I remember when I was younger, drunk, on the table. I'll never forget. We grew up in a family that had chronic alcoholics all throughout my family. My grandmother died from cirrhosis of the liver. My uncle, my grandfather, they were all alcoholics. So when we grew up with alcoholics. All through. So I remember my father being drunk on the table, standing and saying, I am God. My father would tell us things like, there is no God. I remember I started going to youth group when I was 15 years old, and you know how he punished me? He realized I liked going to church, so he punished me not going to church. So hear what I'm saying. Here you have this man that didn't believe in God. Now God did a work in his life, and he's forcing me to go to church. And I watched him for a year, and I said, man, this ain't gonna last very long. And I watched his life closely. Slowly I seen cussing went out the door. Slowly I seen he stopped drinking. Slowly I seen he stopped beating us. Come on, somebody. Slowly I seen he was no longer doing the things that he used to do that caused our family to go down in a big hole. But now I seen this man who was trying his best to live a life according to the Bible. All I knew is that something happened to my dad. There was a transformation on the inside, and he went to a church where they loved him, they envisioned him, and they gave him the tools necessary to be a father. Because I didn't have the greatest relationship with my dad. This, you know what we did on Thanksgiving? My wife, we had a movie night. And we watched that movie, I Can Only Imagine. Who's seen that movie? That movie had me in tears. I was sitting there, I was like. And I was welled up. I even texted my dad. I said, Dad, I love you. You got to remember that. Some of you don't know the story, but when I was growing up, I did get hit as a kid. I remember hiding under the bed when he would walk in drunk. And I'm not telling you some story. I'm telling. So when my father gave his life to the Lord, I still hated him even after I gave my life to God. Just because I gave my life to God didn't mean that our whole relationship was gonna hug, we're gonna sing Kumbaya and sing, oh Lord, I lift your name on high. No. We would go to church, come back and fight. Come on, somebody. Right? But what God had to do was transform both of our hearts. It took 5 years after we gave our lives to the Lord, but God healed, God mended, and he built a strong relationship between a father and a son. Now, why do I say this and why do I labor on this point? Listen, if it wasn't for a church there in Hayward, California that came into my neighborhood, ministered to my dad, I don't know where we would be. There are some of you, the reality is, if you did not walk into this church, we don't know where you would be. There are some of you, listen, you are graduates from our program, and no one wanted anything to do with you, but because of who you are now and what God's done in your life, your family now calls you because they want advice. Are you hearing me? Church was God's vehicle to advance the kingdom. It's not just an optional thing as presented in this generation. No, the value of coming together to worship God, to exalt his name, and provide a loving, caring atmosphere for people that are broken is priceless. The church was God's gift to the world. And if the church is operated the way it's supposed to, and we provide opportunity for people to not only be healed, transformed, and give of their substance to the work of the ministry, listen, we can change the world. We can change, listen to me. Yes, look at our church now. Yes, we might be small in numbers, but if we put our hands to the plow, if we learn to pray, we continue to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we can change Pierce County for the better. We can help change some of our school systems. We can help change some of the people within our neighborhoods. Some of you have a lot of influence. It's time to utilize that influence for God's honor and God's glory. So here the Apostle Paul, he explains the privilege of suffering for the sake of God's church so that the hope may spring forth. This is what you have to understand. Here's a spiritual truth for you that you have to understand about suffering. Remember, the question was, why do we have to suffer? Well, understand this. Someone had to suffer for us to have hope. Without suffering, there would be no hope. Without suffering, there would be no doorway open to heaven. Are you hearing me? What we have to understand about suffering is that suffering open the door for you and I to enter into God's presence. Because Jesus was willing to suffer the death on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, you and I now have the opportunity to be in fellowship with God. Right? Prior to Jesus' death, these are principles that we cannot forget. They're basic principles, but sometimes we overlook them after we've been walking with God. And in some senses, if we're not careful and if we're not sensitive to the Lord, we can take these truths for granted. But understand this, because Jesus suffered on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, you and I have now enter into a relationship with God. Someone had to suffer the atonement of our sins. Atonement simply means in place of. Jesus willingly stepped into our place and suffered a gruesome death for the forgiveness of humanity. Therefore, suffering was a necessity for life and forgiveness. We had a debt we could not pay, and Jesus paid a debt we did not owe. The Apostle Paul understood this truth. And if there's anything that you remember from this message, is understand that you had a debt you could not pay. And our loving Father sent his only begotten Son to pay a debt he didn't owe. And it's because of that we live with gratitude. Are you hearing me this morning? See, the Apostle Paul understood this principle, and this was the driving force behind why he suffered for the gospel, why he was willing to suffer for the church. He understood what Christ did for him, and as a result, he gave his life to the mission and cause God gave for him. Listen to what he said in 2 Corinthians 5:14. He said, "For it is Christ's love that compels us, since we believe that Christ died for all. We also believe that we have died to our old life." See, when you come to the understanding and you keep it in your heart and you're reminded daily of what God did for you back then, you begin to live different. Right? The closer you get to God, listen, the more that you pray, the more you realize how messed up we really are. Right? I get in a prayer and I realize, man, I think I'm doing good. And then the Lord shows me, you're prideful, bro. Right? Right when I think I'm doing good, I get in a prayer and the Lord shows me, Eric, you got this ugliness in your heart that still needs to. Is anybody feeling me this morning? There are things that are inside of, listen, God didn't call us to be perfect. He called us to be committed to transformation, right? God wants to transform our heart. He wants to transform our way of thinking. And sometimes because of seasons of life, how you were yesterday and how you lived yesterday may not be compatible for today. Maybe someone hurt you yesterday, but the day before that, you were at peace. But now because someone hurt you, you're living in today, but now you're disgruntled. Now you lack peace. Now you have vengeance, you have malice, you have struggle in your heart. What happened? Well, something came into our heart, and we have to slay unforgiveness. We have to slay things like malice. We have to address things like pride. We have to address things like unforgiveness, because if not, the one who loses in the end, it's us, because we're unable to move forward. The Apostle Paul understood his commitment to God because he understood what God did for him. Even the Apostle Peter, he shared the same sentiment. Listen to what he said in 1 Peter chapter 1. He said, "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself also with the same attitude." Isn't that heavy? Here you have the Apostle Peter. He said, since Christ suffered in his body, he said, arm yourself also with the same attitude. So here you have two great men of God telling us to arm ourselves with the attitude that is willing to suffer for his sake. He goes on to say, arm yourself also with same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. Listen, it hurts when you let go of certain sins. It is hard when you give up things that you have learned to cradle as a spiritual blanket. What do they call the baby blankets? What do they call those? No, what are those blankets that kids have? You know, the dolls that they have, and God forbid you take it from them because they'll start crying. Security blankets, right? Some of us have security blanket sins. Nobody's watching, but we hold on to that It's the way we soothe. Come on, somebody. It's what we do. It's how we get through things. Well, God says, I want you to get rid of that. And I want you to put your trust in me. Just because the world says it's okay doesn't mean it's okay. Is this okay? Is it too strong for you? Because I don't want to lie to you, right? I don't want to lie to you. There's a lot of debatable things right now in Christendom. Well, Pastor, it's medical marijuana. It helps my back. Your back ain't hurt for a year. Are you hearing me? The leading drug, over-the-counter pills. What is the statistic? According to 2018, 66,000 people overdosed on drugs. And you know what was the leading drug? Antidepressant pills. We got to be very careful that we don't allow the world's influence to cause us to be laxed in our approach and how we see God and what he deems right and what he deems wrong. There are certain things that are wrong by the word of God. Now listen, I'm not here to push my convictions on you, but if you're unsure if it's black or it's white, take it to prayer and let the Lord reveal to you what's right and what's wrong. Because at the end of the day, you're going to have to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit for your life. There are certain things I don't do, I cannot do, because if I did them, it would influence me down a rabbit trail I don't want to go. Now, my struggle may not be your struggle, but your struggle may not be my struggle. So what do? Do we blanket everyone and say nobody could do these things? No. What you have to do is find the Holy Spirit's guidance for your life, because some of the things that you do may not affect you, but it might affect your family. This is why the Bible even says to not be a stumbling block. Certain sins that we hold on to, maybe we don't even know they're sins. They could be stumbling blocks for our family. And we got to value what God has given us. Therefore, I am willing to change. I'm willing to do whatever I have to do, not only to help my family, but to please the Lord. Are you hearing me this morning? Paul understood what God did for him on the cross. And as a result, he developed an attitude that said, God, I am committed to you. Whatever you want me to do, whatever task, whatever outcome, I am willing to die to my old self in order to know you. When we get to that place, we call that spiritual maturity. When our eyes are opened to not only what God did for us, but we now respond with transformation. God wants to transform the way that we think, the way that we live, so that we can be a testimony. See, suffering in a sense is a prerequisite to salvation. Jesus had to suffer so that we could be saved. When you come to the understanding of that, you understand God in a deeper way. God will allow us to suffer in our lives. I want to answer the question. So why does God allow us to suffer? Catch this for a second. God will allow suffering in our lives so we can relate to him in a deeper way. That's why he said, I rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body. See, when you have suffered a little bit for the gospel, or you have suffered, you tend to cry out to God in a different way and you get to know him deeper. So I have learned not everything that hurt me, not everything that happened to me, do I hold people captive anymore. In some senses, I'm almost grateful that certain things happened, because it has changed my perspective and helped me to see things in a new way. Are you hearing me? So let me give you some benefits of suffering. Isn't that interesting? Isn't the Bible so different from the world? Right? How in the world could there be benefits to suffering? Number one, let me give you some benefits to suffering, and then we'll close this thing out. And this message is going to set us up for communion service next week. So listen, you got to understand this. Number one, suffering draws us closer to God. Philippians 3:10 says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participate in his suffering. See, that's a scripture that a lot of people throw around. I want to know the Lord and the power of his resurrection. Do we really want to know the power of his resurrection? Because in order for a resurrection to happen, someone has to die. Before there could be a resurrection, something has to die. See, some of us, we're waiting God to do something in our lives. We're waiting for God to do something great within our lives. Well, God's saying your old self has to die so that I can resurrect anew, so I can do something fresh. You have to get rid of that. And this is where you have to understand that if you are in Christ, there is no condemnation. Listen, all things, if you've accepted Christ, you don't have to live in shame. You don't have to live in condemnation, because if you truly, genuinely repent and you love God, the Bible says all things have passed away and all things have become new. Listen, there are certain people that will try to bring your past up, but if you've repented and you're truly striving for transformation, you can stand. Don't be confrontational. Don't be mean. But you can stand and say, that's not who I am anymore. There are some people, they try to remind me of my past. I say, man, I remember that memory, but that's not who I am anymore. Let's not talk about that. I'm not proud of what I did before. Today I am a child of God. Today I love. Today I forgive. Don't bring up my past. Are you hearing me? But you got to understand, suffering will draw you closer to God. There are things, some of you know our story. When our church burnt down, we were already breaking about 100 and 120 people. And I remember the church was growing. The first 2 years, we had grown. It seemed like it was quick. I remember having the conversation with Brother Kenny. I was like, man, if this is how easy, man, Brother Kenny, we're going to break 500. Right? But I already know before God builds the ministry, God first has to build the men. So one day I get the call and the church burnt down. All my hopes, all my dreams had kind of come to a halt. And I remember for that 1 year, I didn't know what I was going to do. I think I just existed. I came to church. I preached. My heart was calloused. I had lost all drive. I had lost all vision. But here we are 2.5 years later. I welcome the fire now. I welcome what happened. Because I learned something called perseverance, and I learned the genuineness of long-suffering. I learned what it is for a dream to die in my mind and have to go back to the throne of God to get fresh perspective, to get to a place where I had to die to my dreams, my pride, and learn to rely on him. Suffering will draw you closer to God if you respond in the right way. Number two, benefits of suffering. Suffering, listen to me, it brings us assurance. The Bible tells us we will experience suffering. Jesus told his disciples, you and all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So listen, when you commit your life to the Lord, people are going to persecute you. People are going to talk about your commitments. They're going to talk about your responsibilities. And they may even, your family might come against you. But listen to me. He said that we would experience persecution. And I want to remind you, isn't it strange that the minute you give your life to God, or the minute you commit yourself to doing something for the Lord, it seems like all hell breaks loose, right? Man, it could be something simple, right? Sister Jessica, I'm gonna use you as an example. Can I use you as an example? She was like, man, she started cooking for the church, and then, right? Didn't we have the conference? She said, oh, Pastor, I don't know what happened. All hell broke loose. Everything's going crazy. All I'm doing is cooking for the church, right? And I said, sister, you're doing something that matters. I had the conversation with the whole hospitality team. I said, listen, you're not just cooking a meal. What you're providing is healing. What you're providing is fellowship. Because there's some people that would have never stayed, but because they stood, they developed a friend, and now they're having deeper conversations about what they experienced in their past, and they met somebody who is now praying with them and now helping them move forward from their past. See, it's not just a meal. See, what my wife is doing downstairs and teaching the children's ministry, she's not babysitting. She's kingdom building. See, some of you, you're giving yourself to the ministry, and you're like, well, what am I doing? Listen, what you're doing is you're providing a way for people to experience the peace of God. Brother Eric, Brother Kenny, you're not just playing music. You're getting better, and you're providing an atmosphere that we could break through. See, every morning that we open the doors and we have church service, we're not just having a traditional ritual where we come together and we do something out of routine. No, what we're doing is we're providing breakthrough for people that are broken. We are providing hope and a light to those who see nothing but darkness. I think what we need to do is break routine. What we need to do is break what we've always learned, and we need to learn, unlearn, and relearn again. one of my favorite quotes. I forgot the gentleman that said it, but he said, the illiterate person of the 21st century is not the person that can't read or write, but it's the person that is unwilling to learn, relearn, and learn again. Suffering will bring us... Oh, let me get back to my point. I don't even know why... Rabbit trail. If you know me too, sometimes you're in conversation with me, we'll be talking in birdie. Oh, man. Amen. Okay, so suffering brings assurance. 1 Peter 4:12, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange are happening to you. Right? This is why I want to remind you, every struggle that you go through is not a result of something bad that you did. But this is the hope that you have. Listen, Romans 5, 3 and 4, we also glory in our suffering because we know that our suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. See, what you're going through right now is simply preparing you for what God has for you in the future. The assurance that you have, and this leads me to number three, the benefit of suffering. Suffering promises us the open gates to heaven. Suffering was a prerequisite for heaven. Romans 8:18, I consider our present sufferings not worth comparing to the glory that would be revealed in us. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children are. Against its will, all creation was subject to God's curse. But with eager hope, someone say eager hope. The creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. Right? I think we gotta think about heaven a little bit more. Because Revelation 21, I was reading it this morning. It tells us of a place that we're going to go to that will have no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow. No more suffering. It's a place where God will wipe every tear from our face. It's a place, listen to me, where you and I are going to experience glory. That's why we go through what we go through here on earth. And this is a promise that I want you to take. And Brother Eric, you can come up. Actually, give me two more minutes. 1 Peter 5:10, please remember this scripture. And I want you to take this, write it down. Put it on your phone. If you're going to ever use your phone, pull out your phone now in church and write this scripture down. And I want you to keep this as a scripture when you're going through it and you're suffering. I want you to read this scripture. This is the scripture that God gave me when I was struggling, man. When the church burned down, I'm telling you, as a pastor, the building wasn't even that nice, but we had remodeled literally every room in that building. We had hotel carpet, right? Those of you that are with us, it was nice on the inside. It was raggedy on the outside, but it was nice on the inside. And I remember just my dreams kind of falling apart. And I was like, God, how are we going to build? And I'll never forget, he gave me this scripture. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. See, that's a promise you can take to the bank, because right now you're going through it, but God knows what he has for you, and in time, if you endure, he will restore. He will restore, listen, he will restore the joy to your salvation. He will confirm your calling. He will strengthen you for the journey, and he will establish you so that no matter what hell brings your way, you can stand. No matter how high, no matter how hard the pressures of life come, you will make it through. And lastly, now you can come up, brother, please. Suffering results. Number four, the benefit of suffering. Suffering results in the salvation of other people. This is what we have. This is why we endure. This is why you have to understand, you showing up is not just about you fulfilling your obligation to God and showing up. No, you showing up isn't just because it's something to do. No, you sometimes, listen, the goal is I come to church because I sense God calling me. From there, I come to church because I love God. From there, I come to church to be a servant. Till the very end, I come to church for other people. Let me explain biblically. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, 25, the Bible introduces a man by the name of Epaphroditus. Now, the Bible doesn't say much about this character, but this is a character that's kind of one of my hidden heroes. Now, this man is called a brother, a co-worker, and a fellow soldier. I'm probably going to preach on him, because that's heavy. If someone described you as a brother, a co-worker, and a fellow soldier, you know what the Bible says about him in verse number 30? The Bible says he literally almost died and risked his life for the work of the Lord. He literally almost died for the work of the Lord. When you and I commit to suffering, when we die to our old selves, listen to me, we come to the knowledge of the hope that we have in Jesus, and as a result, we make it our mission to let everybody and anybody know about the hope that changed our lives. Paul was committed to the task of evangelizing and discipling the hurting people of the world. And listen, church, I'm throwing it out there to you, because what we're looking for, we're looking for soldiers. We're looking for spiritual soldiers that will commit to the work of the Lord. What are we called to? We're called to reach, help, and spread. We're called to fulfill the Great Commission. I want to reach the unchurched. I want to help people get closer to God. I want to spread the gospel through the work of it. We got to get back on the evangelism. We got to get back to a place where we're evangelizing on our daily lives. We need a team that will make some noise for Jesus. We need a team that is willing to go to the darkest places in our community to give people hope. We need a team that is willing to get together at 12 o'clock at night and walk the streets on Hosmer. Are you hearing me? Listen to Paul's commitment. This is where I'm going to close. Listen to his commitment, not only to God, not only for reaching people, but to the church. He said, 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in dangers from the fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger from the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, at danger by false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Beside everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. You want to talk about commitment? That's a picture of commitment. Someone that is willing to go without food for the sake of someone else getting hope. And sometimes, listen, we go through it and we don't want to come anymore. Somebody hurts our little feelings and we want to give up. Listen, there are people that laid it down, literally have died for the sake of the gospel so that you and I could know the truth. And this is not your popular message today. Today we have a lot of churches. It's feel good. It's come. And I'm not downing churches. But listen, we need to get back to the days of committing our everything to the Lord and helping others come to the knowledge of the glory of God. I believe that in my spirit. I believe that if we commit. And I'm not saying, listen, let me clarify it. I'm not asking you to give everything up now. That's not what we're doing. What I'm saying is, respond to God with each conviction, no matter where you're at right now. Listen, when I came to the light, I didn't change in a week. No, it took me 2 years, right? I was willing to give the church 5% of my time, because at the time, that's how I seen it. Well, I got stuff to do. I got places to go. I need pastor to hurry up. The game's still on. Come on, somebody. I gave the church 5%. And as I came and God did something on my heart, I responded. And then that 5% turned into 15%. That 15%, after God did something else in my heart, I gave 50%. Over time, I was able to give God my all, not because I'm perfect, not because I have everything to offer, no, because I understand the calling of God on my life, and I understand that for many people, if this church isn't open, it's literally life or death. Truth about life is this: things are going to happen. Suffering and trials are not a matter of if, but of when. But as we are led by the Holy Spirit, we partake in Christ's sufferings over time. Listen to me. If we partake in God's suffering over time, we will develop this quality of long-suffering. Galatians 5 tells us the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Isn't it funny that long-suffering is dead smack in between love, joy, peace, gentleness, patience, and goodness? Long-suffering is a spiritual quality that should be developed within our lives. You know what it means to long-suffer? The Greek word's meaning means long and tempered, literally meaning long-tempered. To be long-suffering is to have self-control when one is stirred to anger. A long-suffering person does not immediately retaliate or punish. Rather, he has a long fuse and patiently endures hardship. Long-suffering, listen to me, is associated with mercy and grace. It's a quality we need to have as we all stand this morning.